This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller, and we are at the International Avaya User Group Conference 2011 in Las Vegas on the final day. And I am with Michael Anderson, who is the National Sales Manager for 911 ETC. And Michael, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
How's the show been for you?
The show's been wonderful. A lot of good information out there. The sessions have been very educational, very good attendance. We're excited to be here.
And this is really basically your core market, isn't it? The end users who have many different sites and basically need to get with the program as far as E911 goes.
Oh, definitely. I think the awareness of the issue is definitely expanded to more and more people understanding there is a need. Prices have come down. The opportunities to cover remote users, remote sites, doing voice positioning center type solutions rather than traditional PS alley. With the flattening and consolidating of the enterprise, that brings new challenges for E911. But now with the new I2 technology, meaning voice positioning center type solutions, we can address those issues with flattening and consolidating, which we're seeing a lot more of.
What do you mean by flattening and consolidating?
Well, I'll give you an example. One of our large customers we just implemented a site for, or not a site for the whole enterprise, is, can't necessarily name them, but they're a large manufacturer, a fruit company. And basically, they had two core switches. They said, you know what, we want to send you all 911 traffic from these two core switches, one in Texas, one in California. But they have stores in every state in the United States and offices spread throughout. Rather than contracting with a telco in every single state to set up PS Alley, putting in a local PRI in every physical presence where you have phones, we were able to take those 911 calls from those two core switches and route them back to where they originated from.
How does that improve the service that they're able to provide?
Well, it gives them a lot more flexibility. For instance, if they have remote users working from home now, soft phone users outside the enterprise, we can now address that issue with them. I mean, obviously, there's still some problems, because technology hasn't gotten all the way there. If someone wanted to put in a bogus address, I mean, a real address, but that's not where they're at in their laptop or their soft phone, well, we're going to send it to that wrong address because we're relying upon that person to update that information. But in the past, it just would not work with traditional PS Alley. Now we have the capability to address those issues, save the customer money by not having to contract with the carrier and paying them a monthly fee for every single state, and that PRI cost. We actually were presenting with another large customer here, John Hancock, today. We had a breakout session. Similar scenario. They had a remote office up in New Hampshire. They didn't have a PRI. They had just a remote shelf. In the past, they would have had a provision of PRI, set up PS Alley with the carrier, and then load the information. Well, with the new voice positioning center type solution, we're able to route those calls back to the Boston switch. They then come to our voice positioning center, and we route them back into the New Hampshire PSAP where they originated from.
So you're able to more better match than ever before how people are working today.
Exactly. And like Mark Fletcher says, it's not about a phone number and a location. It's about where are your appliances? It could be, you know, a soft phone, it could be a hard phone, it could be a VoIP phone, it could be 1X Communic, and whatever it is, it's location discovery and basically populating that information to the appropriate database and delivering that call to the appropriate PSAP or 911 operator.
One of the things that I've noted that you're making people aware of are some regulatory issues that are coming down the pike at the state level.
Definitely. Obviously, Michigan is the latest state to enact some legislation. And the unique thing about Michigan is they actually put some enforcement in there, meaning if you do not comply with that legislation, there are going to be fines, which is something we've been pushing for, obviously, as a 911 company. But, you know, you put out a law with no enforcement, no one's out there looking at it. You know, we have people in Illinois where the law has been in place for over 10 years, still have not complied with it. So you need some kind of enforcement, because if you don't push that enforcement, they're going to say, well, I'll just wait till something bad happens. And unfortunately, we have customers where something bad happened, and then they call us. And so we like to be proactive in implementing that. Now, the unique thing also about Michigan is they're 7,000 square feet, meaning you have to get down to an area within 7,000 square feet. So if you had a floor of a building that was 10,000 square feet, you need two unique locations in the 911 database, so north and south, or whatever it might be, east and west wing of that building. If you go to Illinois, it's 40,000 square feet. In the state of Washington, it's 25,000 square feet. And in Florida, it's down to the desktop. So unfortunately, there's no uniform law. The FCC has put out some suggestions, but each individual state's kind of done their own thing. We see California maybe being the next one. I know that the PUC there is going to recommend the legislation be passed. Obviously, they don't have any authority to enact that legislation, but they are recommending to put in this legislation to require E-911 to about 10,000 square feet. That's what they're recommending, and enforcement, meaning fines, and if you do not comply. So, California, it's like a mini country almost. So if they enact that, we're going to see a lot of changes, because almost everybody that's a large enterprise has an office in California. Once you supply E-911 to that office in California, by not supplying it in other states, even though there's no legislation, you know what the issue is. So if something happens in that state, an attorney's going to find out and say, well, you addressed it here in California, so you knew that was a problem, but you just chose to ignore it in the other state.
You can't plead ignorance.
You cannot plead ignorance, exactly. And this information's out there. I mean, I think about everybody knows that E-911's a problem. And, people going into VoIP, it's funny because as people migrate more to VoIP to the desktop, E-911 becomes a big issue. And I tell people that, when you go to VoIP, actually E-911's a lot easier to manage, because you can do it via subnet. You can assign a phone number or an ELIN in our nomenclature to that subnet. So if anyone logs in or plugs into that subnet or VLAN, it knows to push out the phone number that correlates with the location of that subnet or VLAN, which means you don't have to update any 911 information on a daily basis. You set that up, the ELIN URL configuration, and you're done in terms of updating.
Have you been talking about regulatory issues with customers here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, that's always the first question. What's my law, or how does that impact me? What does this mean to me? Obviously I'm not an attorney, so I don't ever tell a customer, this is it. I always say, look, I'll supply you with the legislation, you bring it to your legal team, because I have different customers, legal people interpret it different ways. So for instance, Florida, as I said, the legislation says you must be able to get it down to the desktop. It doesn't say you have to get it down to the desktop. So I've actually had customers say, well, I'm able to, but I'm not going to. So unfortunately, I wouldn't interpret that way, but like I said, I offload that onto the legal team, because I'm not an attorney. But definitely the legislation is helping push this. And like I said, if you do comply with the legislation in one state, there's OSHA rules about, if you don't implement another state, even though there's not a lot of legal requirement, you are definitely leaving yourself open to a lot of liability.
Michael, where are the resources that I can access to find out more about this issue?
Well, obviously, you can go to our website, which is www.911etc.com. There's a lot of information there. Mark Fletcher, all you have to do is Google his name, and up will come more information than you probably can get through. But Mark has been a big proponent of the E-911. In fact, we co-presented a presentation yesterday about next generation 911, which is I3, which is probably 5 years out still, at least. But Mark Fletcher puts out information on blogs, and you can get as much information as you want there, and as well as our website. But you should just go to Google, punch that in, and you should be able to get just about any question answered.
Get information about 911 ETC and information about legislation in the same place.
Exactly. In fact, on our website, you go to our website, there's a legislation page. You click on that, and you can click on any of the states, and up will come, if they have legislation, up will come the legislation in that state. Print it off, hand it to your legal group or whatever, save it, forward it off to them. They can review it that way. But yeah, you can find all that information on our website.
Michael, thank you very much indeed for coming by and getting our readers a little bit of information on this very vital topic.
I appreciate you having me, Doug. Thank you very much.